And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Friday, April 26th, and we are here trying to help you make better financial decisions, less bad ones, or maybe just give you a little boost, put a hand on your back, try to let you understand that all of these conversations that we have, they are not just financial. It's not just math. There are emotions here. We understand that. And that's why so much of this is very difficult, because we let our emotions, that our emotions are just involved. And that's why it becomes so difficult. So Mark and I are both certified financial planners. And that is one of the reasons I think we can kind of do the math stuff, but we're also compassionate human beings. So we'd love to hear from you. If you've got something going on, go to our website, jillonmoney.com, click the contact us button. Let us know if you would be willing to come on the air live. If not, that's okay. We do emails. That's great. When you're on the website, you'll see we've got a lot of content there. We've got other podcasts. We've got a blog. We have a radio show. There are videos of my television appearances, resources, so much stuff. And of course, the free weekly newsletter, which comes out every Friday today. So check that out. All right, let's do some emails. This is from Deborah, who writes, I'm almost 71. I'm freshly widowed. No debt. I own my own condo. It's worth $425,000. I own my car. And here are my assets. Multiple CDs that are now earning about 5.25% to 5.5% from 1 year to 18 months, $610,000. Yowza. That's a lot of money in CDs, right? Okay, what else? There's an emergency fund, $46,000. A high-yield savings account is holds that emergency fund. Okay, there's income. Social Security of about $2,300 a month, pension of a little more than $1,400 a month, an IRA of $86,000, some money in a Vanguard money market, some money in a Vanguard ETF. And she writes, here's the critical question. What am I missing? I don't feel bulletproof from running out of money in my retirement. Deborah, you actually missed one of the critical variables to this. How much are you spending? Because you do have a little bit more than $3,700 a month in income. So if you're spending, $8,000 a month, then that's a problem. But when I look at the situation and I say, okay, you've got a bunch of money, probably close to about $700,000 that's invested mostly in very low risk stuff, then, I have to ask you, well, how much are you spending, number one? And number two, if you are just making ends meet, what are you pulling out of the accounts that makes up the difference? I also wonder whether you should be all in CDs or not, because, if you're spending $2,500 a month and you are bringing in $3,700, maybe you don't have to do anything. But I'm not convinced of that. I'd love to hear more from you. And so, gang, when you write in and you say, here's all my stuff, don't forget about the very important piece, which is how much do you spend? That's a biggie. All right. Brenda writes, am I ready? Am I ready? Okay. First of all, love your show. Thank you, Brenda. Brenda writes, I will be 62 at the end of the month, and I'm thinking about retirement. Here's my financial information. I make about $150,000 a year. I got $1 million in a 401k, $350,000 in a high yield savings account. I plan on selling my condo. The loan balance, blah, 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 basically has about $400,000 in equity. I don't believe capital gains will come into play since this is my primary residence. Depends what you paid for it, but probably not. Depends whether you owned it with someone else. Brenda says, I plan on moving closer to my family in the Midwest. Cost of living there considerably less. And I can live debt-free, live a comfortable and conservative lifestyle. Here we go. Monthly expenses, excluding mortgage, $2,000. If I start drawing Social Security at 62, my monthly benefit would be $2,450 versus $3,090 at age 65, $3,600 at 67. I plan on getting a part-time job after retiring that has a lot less stress. Am I ready? First of all, do not take your Social Security at 62 unless you have a nasty health issue, because it's a rotten deal. And if you have money right now in this high yield savings account, you're going to be fine. And, you know, if you can wait till you're 67, you're going to be golden. So if you're, especially what I would think about is right now, between now and 67, you sell your place, just make sure you don't have a capital gain. If you do, it doesn't mean you shouldn't sell it. It just means you've got to set some money aside. Use that $350,000 in your high yield savings account. Let the 401k keep working. Do it. Make it work for you. You know, potentially you could certainly take some of the money out while you're not working and live on that and pay the tax that's due on it. That's fine too. But I think you're ready, but 67 is your Social Security claiming age. That's, I think, the obvious answer. Okay. Micah writes, my wife and I are maxing out our retirement accounts, 401k, 403b, 457, including catch-up contributions. We're using Roth where possible. We're in the 37% marginal tax bracket. Should we continue on this path? Should we dial back the Roth and do pre-tax? What do you think? Okay, Mark, this is your question. You must take yourself off mute to answer the 37% question on Roths.
Is this really a question? Yes, continue doing what you're doing. We're also in 37% tax bracket, thanks to my high earning wife. And we don't even think twice about it. Everything we do is Roth.
And I think the other part of it is that I bet you already have a ton of money in a traditional environment. So maybe you're just going to be hedging your bets, you know, and I would be happy to do that. You know what I was thinking when we had Ed Slott on the show? What was, I thought, one of the things that was very instructive. He said, you know, my experience in all these years is that people who live their working lives in a high tax bracket are usually in that same high tax bracket when they retire. And I think that's good to remember, that it's very rare when you go down. I mean, some people do. It's possible, but it is rare, right? So, yeah, let's try that Roth. Sharon writes, we are building a new home, and I do not want to move until it's complete. I can take the necessary funds from our investments, but I want to check to see if our mortgage on our existing home is a better way to go. I know that there are tax savings, and if we take money from investments, there'd be capital gains. We're in the 24% federal bracket. Well, I don't like getting a mortgage. Like, I wouldn't get a mortgage on a short-term basis. I would get a mortgage on the new home, if that's what you're saying, and get a construction loan. But like, to get a mortgage on an existing home, pay all the fees for that, and then have to sell it, and, you know, as soon as you're done, I don't know that. I'm not sure that makes sense. I need to know more information, Sharon. So I hope that helps you. All right, last one here. This is Yolanda. The question is interest fees for continuing care communities. Okay, question. Is it a good investment to pay an entry fee to get into a senior community? It seems that this could guarantee that you're never asked to leave once you become a resident. It does not guarantee the quality of the care or the solvency of the business. Okay, that's where I was going with this. you know, nothing has quality of care guarantees, obviously. But the solvency of the business is important because when you're paying one, usually this is with step facilities, the upfront fee is really predicated on the, it's like buying into a co-op. You got to look at the finances and you got to look at their balance sheet and you got to look at their expenses and you really have to know what you're buying into. Yolanda says, I'm at the point where I want to do some long-term planning, but I don't want to throw my money away and I don't want to be stuck in a situation that doesn't feel right after some period of time. Yeah, I mean, I think that some of these continuing care communities have had real problems. And I remember we were looking at this for my mother-in-law. My brother-in-law, was her son, who was a muni bond banker, you know, he looked at the, I said, can you look at this company for me that owns the facility? And he's like, the financing looks terrible. Don't touch this with a 10-foot pole. And we didn't. You really have to be careful. So I'm glad you asked us. I would probably avoid it. There are a lot of different alternatives. You may not like them all, but I think they're probably alternatives that don't put you at as much risk. So that is the 2 cents there. Okay, that is it. That is the program. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen. It's Friday. I do some business on Fridays. Our music is composed by Joel Goodman. Mark Talercio is our executive producer and the king of all things web. We are distributed by Odyssey. Try to put your hands metaphorically on someone's back and change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
And why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.